Hey, Adam.
Yes, Mike.
It's the world famous G1 Climax Prediction Show.
That it is. Not only is it the world famous G1 Climax Prediction Show, this is the first time, the first year that we've done this show for free, as this podcast, The Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, is now available for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else you get your podcasts. So before we jump right in, because this will not be a short episode, before we jump right in, let's explain to people how we do this, how we've been doing this for more than 15 years, and I guess how this differs from the way other people do G1 or tournament preview shows.
Yes, they may be trying to do it efficiently and maybe planned a whole bunch of stuff ahead of time, had all their notes and ducks in a row and all that sort of thing. We do not do that. We go day by day. We don't look at it in advance. Well, we do look at it in advance, but we're not picking anybody in advance. As we go along here, we name who we believe is going to be the winner. We do math on the fly, which is always good for a little bit of laughs, at our expense, absolutely, by you, the listener, when we screw something up along the line. But that's okay. We will predict everyone we think is going to win every single match down to the last night and give our prediction winner, or give our prediction of who we believe is going to win. And here's the thing. I'm never right about this sort of thing. I get a couple of matches right.
This show is the ultimate example of it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. We are not doing an analysis of who we think overall. If we sat here and thought about who will win the tournament, that's not what this is. This is us going through, as you said, predicting the results of every single match on the fly as we go through, doing math and telling you, the listeners, how that math added up and who will go on to the semifinals and finals of the tournament. You'll understand as we go through. This is a moment in time. Like I said, we've been doing this for 15 plus years. Strap in, put your seatbelt on, get on board, because we're about to go match by match through the entirety of the G1 Climax 32.
There is a chance, if we're not paying attention well enough and we're picking some upsets and we're picking some stuff that, okay, some wacky things that could happen. It is within the realm of possibility that we get down to the end of this thing and it's Great O'Conn against Chase Owens. It is possible that that could be predicted on this show. I'm going to say that the odds of that happening are pretty minuscule, but you never know what could happen on a G1 Climax prediction show here at the Big Audio Nightmare.
Well, I will say that particular matchup as a semifinal or a final is, in fact, impossible, because they are in the same block and will be wrestling each other. So we're guaranteed to get them wrestling once, but it will not be with everything on the line. But as we mentioned blocks, we should explain this year's tournament is a little bit different than previous years. It is four blocks of seven wrestlers. We have an A block, a B block, a C block, and a D block. It's actually a legit C block this year. I'm very upset that perennial C block champion David Finlay got put in the D block. He should be in the official C block now that it exists. But yes, we have four blocks of seven, a total 28 wrestlers. It will all come down to the final two nights. And on those nights, you'll have the A block winner versus the B block winner, the C block winner versus the D block winner. And then on the 18th of August, we will have the final between the two men who emerge from that that semifinal round. So let's take a look at each of the blocks. We've got block A, which it's interesting. I wouldn't say these blocks are themed completely, but you look at the A block and it's a big boy block. You've got Bad Luck Fale, Lance Archer as the lone AEW representative here in the G1 tournament, Jeff Cobb, and Jonah, all in the same block, along with Toru Yano, Kazuchika Okada, who has to be one of the favorites in the tournament, and our close, longtime personal friend, listener to the Big Audio Nightmare, and all-around great man, the longest reigning strong openweight champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling history, Filthy Tom Lawler, making his G1 and New Japan main roster debut.
Gotta love that. Now, did you see the new T-shirt that was unveiled on Tuesday, July 12th? Did you see the new Japanese Filthy Tom Lawlor T-shirt?
I did not. I hope it's just a shirt that somehow looks like a pair of jean shorts.
I am so upset that they did not do a denim T-shirt. I really, and would it sell? Of course it wouldn't, but I really wanted them to have one. No, it seems to be a very plain white shirt with some denim stitching around the collar and on the shoulders with just Filthy written across it as if somebody spray painted it through stenciling. It's a certainly a unique looking shirt, but I was kind of hoping for the denim.
Yeah, well, they'll build up to that. He's got to score a few points in Block A before he gets the full denim T-shirt treatment from the New Japan merchandise sellers, I guess you could say. So from there, B Block, Tomohiro Ishii, Tama Tonga getting one of his biggest opportunities to date, another crack at a singles push for Tama Tonga, Sonata, Taichi, the aforementioned Great Okan and Chase Owens, and the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Jay White. Jay White, clearly, you'd have to say, is the favorite in this block. Who knows how things will go, but it's not exactly a block filled with guys who you'd consider top contenders for the title. And I guess one of the things as we go through that will be interesting to see is, traditionally, we'll see the IWGP champion, or in this case, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, lose maybe a match, maybe two matches in block action to set up a title match, at some point before the Tokyo Dome. At first blush, there aren't necessarily, guys who you consider top contenders for a title shot in this block, but we shall see there. That then takes us to Block C, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Hiroki Goto, Tetsuya Naito, Zack Sabre Jr., Aaron Hanare making his first appearance in the G1 tournament, Kenta, and Evil.
Oh, it started off so good, too. This looked like it was going to be the honorable division. Tanahashi, Goto, for anything you want to say about Sabre, a honorable man who's trying to tie you up into bits. Then you get Aaron Hanare. He's been off the reservation here a little bit. And then Kenta, and then Evil.
It's actually going to be one of the things to track throughout this tournament is you have so many guys, whether it be a Kenta, Evil, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Juice Robinson now, El Phantasmo, Yujiro Takahashi, quite a few guys who specialize in interference, ref bumps, weapon shots, some variation thereof. How many of these are we going to have on every show? Most of the block nights, we've only have four or five tournament matches. So are they really going to want to lean into having that happen two, three times on a show? We'll see. We'll track that throughout. The D block, as we mentioned earlier, David Finlay making his first G1 appearance, Yoshihashi, Shingo Takagi, Will Ospreay, Rock Hard Juice Robinson, El Phantasmo, and for some godforsaken region, in a reason in a tournament that has 28 men and the border is completely opened, Yujiro Takahashi still gets a spot.
Rock Hard Juice, what is that, ice? I'm sorry, Jim Ross actually popped me with that one. And then I'm thinking, as soon as he said that during Forbidden Door, why are we not going to see Rock Hard Juice popsicles? That everyone can tell people to suck on. I think it would be fantastic.
There you go. There you go. That could be the next merch idea right behind the all denim Filthy Tom shirt. So that's how the blocks are comprised. We're not going to go through all the undercard non-tournament matches, but we should note on each night that we do have upwards of four or five non-tournament matches, tag team matches, previewing upcoming matches in the tournament. Noteworthy that Royce Isaacs, one half of the West Coast Wrecking Crew, is on this tour. While he's not a part of the G1 itself, he is on this tour teaming with Filthy Tom Lawlor in a bunch of preview tags. And we also have Bad Dude Tito coming over, and he will be in some preview tags as a member of TMDK with Jonah. So a couple guys who Royce Isaacs, I'm not necessarily surprised by, but you know, it's interesting to see Bad Dude Tito, a guy who really kind of came out of a bit of obscurity, a West Coast indie guy, but certainly not a household name, latched on to TMDK on New Japan Strong over the past few months, and clearly has impressed New Japan management enough to, you know, to get this sort of supporting role spot on the G1 tour, if not in the tournament itself.
Yeah, nice guy. Hell of a gimmick. We interviewed him on Wrestling Observer Live, and he had a couple of great stories, including catching an armed robber. That was a fantastic story. And, you know, people may have seen him during Bloodsport and may have seen him on that show. It's going to be... It's nice to see those guys go over there, and I know there's people, look, we're all cramped for time. That is, I am the first one to say it. It is very difficult to try to watch everything, but if you do have the chance and you are not familiar with New Japan or how this thing usually goes, all of these tag matches that'll be taking place and all the interaction that'll be taking place always traditionally, and this happens on every New Japan tour when they have undercard matches, they are usually... You know, keeping everything, the stories, and keeping everybody in tune with something that's going to happen later on. And it's the same way here. So if you see somebody come in with an injury and you hadn't watched the prelims over the last couple of days, be sure that something happened there. And obviously for English listeners, if anything does happen and you don't have a chance to watch it, Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton are going to fill you in. But, you know, again, it's very difficult to, but back in the day, you know, a couple of years ago when we were able, at least me, able to watch all of those undercard matches, it does really help, you know, your mindset on where everything's at and helps keep you in tune with what's going on.
Yeah, it helps tell the story for sure. The other thing that's always a good idea is to check in with the post-match comments that get uploaded later in the evening after these shows. Those always move the stories along quite a bit as well. So let's move this podcast along and start talking about the tournament itself. The G1 Climax 32 gets underway at the Hokkaido Prefectural Sports Center July 16th, so coming up just this Saturday. There are five preview tags, and then the tournament proper gets started with one match from each block, which is what happens a lot throughout the course of this this tour. We have Hiroshi Tanahashi and Aaron Hanare. I'm going Tanahashi. I don't know that Tanahashi is going to get a ton of points here. I think we saw it last year. We're kind of at the beginning stages of him being phased down, other than when... when there's injuries, guys out, that sort of thing. But Tanahashi will get the win here. Hanare's not beating Tana.
No, I think the only way, and this is going to be different now with the blocks too. Before, you could have somebody get off to a fast start or a slow start and then adjust that a little bit later on. Going to be a little bit different, even though you do have six other people. You know, with the four blocks and going into semifinals and a final, it's going to change things up here a little bit. So,
well, you have less matches per block. So,
yeah, so you can't go on that.
From a kayfabe standpoint, you can't afford to get off to a bad start. Before, if you were in a, two 10-man blocks, you had nine matches, you lose your first three matches, you could rattle off a six-match winning streak and be in play on the final night. That's not the case now. You lose two, three matches, beginning, you're in trouble.
Absolutely, and there may be a variation of that, but I will see what exactly it is. Tanahashi and Hanare again in another time. I could find a reason to give Hanare the win here and give Tanahashi a slow start, but much like you, I'm going to go with Tanahashi here. Block C first match, and as we go through these as well too, how it looks, and not to say that by the end there may not be a change in these cards, but as it looks right now, as we give you these matches in order, that's looks like the order they're going to be on the shows. Block C, and in this case, a Block D match comes next with Will Ospreay and El Phantasmo. This is another case where you might be able to talk yourself into giving Phantasmo a win, but
I'm going to. I say, with how hard they've pushed El Phantasmo on commentary going heavyweight, I don't know that Phantasmo's going to, like, I don't think he's going to factor in by the end of the tournament, but it seems like usually a guy like this that's starting a push, whether it be coming back from excursion or moving up a weight class, even if they don't figure in by the final night, they'll get a tentpole win or two in the tournament. I'll say Phantasmo, probably through some sort of nether region punching and then a super kick, he gets the win over Ospreay.
I'm going to go with Ospreay here, but I agree with what you're saying about Phantasmo, and I think he is going to, at some point, get, you know, some big wins here to make everybody, remind everybody that he is a heavyweight now, and he is a threat to be worried about. But in this case, I'm going to go with Will Ospreay. Block B, our next
match. It should be an incredible athletic match, too, if the Phantasmo shenanigans are toned down to a level that they were throughout the majority of the best of the Super Juniors. This has the potential to be one of the best matches of the tournament right away.
Oh, my God, yeah. Just athleticism alone with those two, it's completely ridiculous. Block B, Sonata, and Jay White.
Jay White. Sonata's not getting a title shot right now. I love Sonata. He's ice cold right now. If there's anything that he's going to figure into, it's going to be the kind of the muddied up U.S. title situation. Going with Jay White.
Absolutely. And I think Sonata, he's going to get his wins, you know, a couple of them here for sure. But Jay White gets the victory, which leads us into the main event. The ninth match of the night, Block A, Kazuchika Okada against Jeff Cobb. Here's my quote unquote upset. And I'll take Jeff Cobb actually defeating Okada in the main event of Hokkaido first night.
Wow. I figure Okada's, I don't know. I figure he's going to drop a fall at some point in the tournament, maybe to someone surprising. I don't know. I just don't see, it seems like Cobb isn't really anywhere near the singles mix right now. I'll go with Okada. I think there's a good chance that you're upset, so to speak, is more likely than mine is on this first night, but I'm going with Okada, which takes us to night two, same building, July 17th, four more tournament matches, Block B, Tomohiro Ishii, and Taichi. They always have awesome tournament matches. Ishii's one of the first guys that really, you know, drew something more out of Taichi. Taichi's been very good for quite a while, but you go back to that match they had several years ago at the New Japan Cup. That was really probably Taichi's best career match to date at that point. I'll go with Taichi. I always feel like I expect Taichi to do better in the G1 than he does. But I'm going to go with Taichi here and go, I guess, on blind faith that he actually is going to get off to a good start here.
I can see Taichi easily winning that, but I will actually fall and go with Ishii here. I can't see either one of them actually doing very well in this, which of course will always upset somebody who's a big Ishii fan. And hey, I'm right there with you. You could always give him a run anytime you wanted to because people believe, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen during this G1, but I definitely think he starts off with a win over Taichi.
Jonah versus Toru Yano. Yano is, on top of just his matches being completely ridiculous in the tournament, he's the hardest thing to call every year. I, several years ago, finally gave up on the like giving him 0 points because he's always going to get a surprise win or two, you know, against a guy you wouldn't expect him to beat. And go back to things like Kenny Omega or Jon Moxley. I think Jonah will get off to a good start, though, here. Jonah will get the win. Yano, I don't think, will win the block. We'll see.
No, and it'll be interesting to see, too, how many zeros, if we get any zeros at all during this entire thing, because the way you look at it, because of the limited matches, you look at a B and you go, well, there's a very easy way where Chase Owens could end up with zero or whoever it is.
You know, bad luck Fale, maybe.
Fale, absolutely, with a bunch of disqualifications.
Yujiro Takahashi, you'd have to think, is the strongest candidate to get a zero, so the weakest candidate to score points.
The only thing he has going for him is Yoshihashi in the same block, but I will go with Jonah because I don't know when Yano's going to get that victory, but I don't think it's going to be right off the bat with Jonah, which leads into the eighth match on that night, Block C, Zack Sabre Jr. against Kenta. I can also, again, this is like a lot of these matches, you can make a case as to why somebody would win, or you start really thinking about all the ridiculous interference and chicanery that goes along, and you can make the case for a Kenta, and I think he's going to get his wins, but I'll give Zack Sabre Jr. another double.
Yeah, same here. To your point, it is tougher than it was. You know, I mean, obviously we've had interference and Bullet Club and stuff like that in New Japan and in the G1, but it's tougher to predict these last few years, and particularly in this tournament, than even 4 or 5 years ago, because as we talked about earlier, just the preponderance of guys that use those sort of finishes, it makes it hard to really ever say that they, you know, they wouldn't win any match. But yeah, I'll go with Zack Sabre Jr. Interested to see how Kenta does in this tournament. He's coming off the severe injuries from that insane street fight ladder match, whatever you want to call it, with Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. I wouldn't say he looked great at Corican Hall last week, so we shall see what he's able to deliver. But I'll go with ZSJ. Main event, Block D, Shingo Takagi and Juice Robinson. One of those matches that, you know, because Shingo as a heavyweight single really has risen to prominence in New Japan during the pandemic, which is a time where Juice Robinson really has not been in Japan at all. This is kind of a really fresh match. I don't know. It's one of the tougher ones to choose, but I'm going to go with Juice Robinson. I feel like there's several guys, whether it be a Jonah, an El Phantasmo, Juice Robinson, guys that, you know, either they're coming over for the first time, they've turned heel, they've moved up a weight division, guys that need some wins early to be established, and I think Juice is in that boat.
Yeah, you know, and him in the Bullet Club mix, though, the whole deal with the U.S. title and all that sort of stuff, and just looking like he's going to be a gigantic thorn in everyone's sides once he is, you know, everything is cooking back up again, which it is now with the G1 and people coming over. Again, we'll have to see how things end up working out. Hopefully he stays healthy as well, too, during this time. But I will give Shingo the main event victory here, partially because it is the main event with Juice, and I have Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Kenta right before that. We got Jonah getting a victory a little bit earlier on, so I will go with the Native Son and one of the, again, underrated, I think, bright shining stars of New Japan. I know how crazy is that you could call Shingo, who was the IWGP champion and is so great, underrated, but, you know, he's such a great piece of glue, and he's just so great at everything, in my opinion, that I don't know, even with all the shine that he gets, if he gets enough of it with people really understanding how good and how important I think he is right now.
Yeah, if only he had Sting with him throughout this tournament to fend off the Bullet Club, he may even do better in this tournament. But yes, I wholeheartedly agree, Shingo. You know, he's sort of, you know, really given the fact that he was never supposed to have the IWGP World Heavyweight title, but he's gotten to a certain level now that I don't think they're going to push him all the way in this tournament, but he's always a threat. He's great. He's guaranteed great match quality if he's in there with anybody halfway decent. So yeah, this should be fun. Might be one of those, you know, matches that people don't circle as being one of the best matches of the tournament going in that very well may end up being such. Then go the next night to the Zebio Arena in Sendai. That's the new arena that's just been open for the past year or two with the very nice modern ribbon boards and everything. Cool-looking building. Not the best card. Maybe one of the worst cards as far as tournament matches. We have D-Block, David Finlay, and Yujiro Takahashi. I'm going to go with David Finlay getting 2 points to get on the board against Yujiro.
Same here. Not much more to say about that one. I think Finley gets the Duke.
No, there's not a lot to say about a lot of the matches on this show. Tama Tonga, Chase Owens. Again, Chase is going to probably pick up a win at some point in this tournament, but I'm going to go with Tama here.
Yeah, it ain't going to be against Tama Tonga, who I think could end up actually doing well. We'll see. Watch. I'll say that and give him like 2 points here against Owens, and that's all I end up giving him.
But there's always somebody, I feel like, where you say they're going to do great, and then they end up going like 2-7.
Hopefully for Tonga's sake, it won't be him, but I think he easily gets a 2 here because, you know, what else are you doing if he doesn't? Block A, next match, Bad Luck Fale against Lance Archer. This is difficult for me, not because, look, it could end in a double disqualification. It could end with Archer getting a big man win. It could end with Fale.
It's got big double count-out energy.
I'm not
predicting that, but it does.
It absolutely does, and I think we're going to get one of those. And we always talk about this throughout the whole thing, too, and then we give it too early or whatever it is. I am scared to do this yet. I'll go with Lance Archer getting the victory, but if this thing ends with neither guy getting a point, I'm not falling over shocked.
Yeah, I wouldn't fall over shocked either, but I'm going with Archer, the lone AEW representative in the tournament. He's going to have to get some wins, get some points. There's a lot of guys in this block that I don't see him getting wins over. So I think Fale is a guy that, you know, can lose to Lance Archer pretty easily here.
Do you think he gets it by disqualification?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think he'll get the win. I think he'll bounce his head off the mat like a basketball with a claw and get the win. We then have main event. By far, on paper, the best match. Tetsuya Naito and Hirooki Goto. I don't think Goto's going to get a lot of points in this tournament. I think we're definitely into the phase of Goto being kind of just short, just shy of where in New Japan, at least, guys like Nagata and Kojima have been over the past few years. I'll go with Naito. Should be a good match, though.
As I pull my microphone level back up here, I apologize about that. The wife texting in. Doesn't she know we're talking G1 here?
Yeah, think, well, you'll be done in 3-4 hours.
I think just like you, Hirooki Goto, I would doubt him getting a whole lot of action here. And
well, look, that sounds like something completely different.
In the main event, you know, you could make a nice case for Goto to get a big victory here, but
you could. In a tournament that had more than six block matches for guys. But this is... like, this is one of the matches that is a perfect example to me of how upsets almost seem less likely than they would in previous years, because if Naito's going to have a loss, I can't imagine it's going to be against Goto, because he can probably only afford to have one if he's still going to make it, you know, to being a player on those final three nights.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. He loses here, then he's going to have to go and run the table, and you have Tanahashi, you have... again, it's an easier block for him on paper, but then you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So I'm going to go with Tetsuya.
Can you lose more than one match and win the block? You know, can you finish with less than 10 points?
Adam, I think, you know what, of looking at the blocks, if you're going to do that in one, I bet you it's this one. Because you can look at Tanahashi losing two. You can look at Kenta or Goto or Naito. All of those guys can lose two, especially Tanahashi and Naito, who I think would be at the top of the list. So I think if it's going to happen, this is probably where it would happen.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Going next, July 23rd, it is night 4, Oda City General Gymnasium. Block C is the first match. Zack Sabre Jr. against Aaron Hanare. Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, I'm going with Zack Sabre Jr. Hanare is maybe going to get a win at some point, but again, Zack Sabre Jr., I see him at some point losing to a bigger name, and I also see him being in the mix down to the last few days, so you know, I don't see a loss of Hanare here. Shingo Takagi and Yoshihashi, I think this is another one of those big-time sleeper matches in the tournament. Yoshihashi's gotten really, really good over the last 3 years or so. Shingo Takagi, we talked about, incredible. To me, you can almost never count out Yoshihashi getting, you know, one or two surprise wins right now at this point with where he's sort of slotted, but I don't think it's going to happen against Shingo. I will go with Shingo Takagi, particularly since I had Juice Robinson beating him earlier on.
Isn't it wild we had to get to night 4 and you have a guy working a match for the first time in the tournament? You know, that's the other
thing is, as I was looking at this, like, it's the strangest thing about this is how long it takes some guys to have their first tournament matches and the long gaps between tournament matches. I mean, granted, there's all these preview tags. A lot of guys are, you know, you've got matches every night, but there are some long gaps. There's guys who have a bunch of matches early and then the schedule slows down. There's guys who only have a match or two in the first couple of weeks as far as tournament matches, and then, you know, are really backloaded. It's definitely weird.
Yeah, and we won't have 5 G1 matches on a show until the end of the month. Literally the end of the month. It's going to be July 31st before we actually see that. So just very, very unique here. Shingo, I think, absolutely gets the victory. Yoshihashi, unfortunately, he's going to put on some great performances, as you mentioned. He is a guy that's legitimately underrated, especially for people who haven't been in tune for a while and only think of him as the gimmick guy. That is absolutely...
and very over in Chicago, I learned.
He
I know part
was.
Of it was the opening match on the buy-in. But the people in Chicago loved them. Yoshihashi a few weeks ago.
That was super cool. I don't know if that would maintain if they went back 10 times a year, but they don't have to. So he comes over. He's a big star. I hope. Did he have a little merch to sell there? Did he have anything?
Oh, God. No, the merch there was pathetic. It was like 3 AEW shirts, a couple really lame event shirts that weren't anywhere near as cool as the shirts that we saw and purchased in New York City at the Ring of Honor New Japan Madison Square Garden show, and then a couple of New Japan towels. It was paltry.
I should have known ROH was on the way out the door when they were selling so much stuff for so cheap, including everything from that event. If anybody got some of that stuff, they actually really got some killer deals. But we'll go back to the Block A here. Kazuchika Okada against Toru Yano again.
It could happen.
It could happen. If you're only giving him one.
Again, I just don't see it. I think the format of the tournament is playing against a lot of these upsets in a different way than we've seen in previous years. I'm going with Okada.
Yeah, I mean, he could slip on the banana peel here, but I can't envision it. I can't bring myself to say it. So Okada gets the victory here.
Which gets him to 4 points for me. I think that keeps him at 2 for you because you have him losing to Jeff Cobb.
Yes, yeah, so that actually is 2. So now, and again, we'll in a little bit, we'll kind of go through some of the totals we have here. That's what got me about Yoshihashi is I'm writing everybody's name down here. It's like, well, here we go with Yoshihashi, and he's first time he's wrestled, and we still have 3 other guys in 3 other blocks that we still need to discuss having their first match. But the main event of that night is going to be Tomohiro Ishii against Jay White. And, hey, like you've said a zillion times, you could give Ishii a win here, but can you really see him having a World Heavyweight Championship title defense before the end of the year?
I mean, maybe. I just feel like the story of Jay White losing to Tomohiro Ishii,
hurts.
They already told that a couple of years ago. I feel like we're kind of past that.
Yeah.
So,
and it hurts.
Yeah.
And it just,
I'll go with Jay White. I'd love to see Ishii get a win and then get a title shot, but I'm going with Jay White.
Well, and you look at it too. It's like, how does this help Jay White in Japan or here or anywhere? And maybe it helps, you know, obviously, you know, Ishii, people would love to see it happen, but like, okay, so what story are you going to tell after this? And I think Jay White is got a full dance card with everybody else where I don't see Ishii getting that shot. So that will move us to night 5, Oda City, again, the General Gymnasium, where they will be for 2 straight nights on the
20th. I'll be interested to see, by the way, I assume there's not going to be crowd cheering allowed for this. We should note that New Japan announced that, I think it's September 5th and 6th, they're going to be doing 2 shows at Korakuen Hall, half capacity, and they're promoting those as the first crowd cheering allowed New Japan shows in the pandemic era. Only reason I mention this with Oda City Gymnasium is that both Tokyo Joshi Pro and Gambare Pro this past week did half capacity, full crowd cheering shows allowed at shows. So I don't know, maybe there's a slight chance they'll end up being cheering a lot at these shows, but I haven't heard anything to indicate that that's overly likely.
Yeah, going by what Dave said this morning, because I made that note that there was going to be no cheering is what he said until those shows in September. I hope that's not the case because, as you mentioned, you know, they've been talking about it. We've seen other promotions do it. I get why they're not, but boy, that brings a lot back to the table as far as atmosphere goes. I'll be looking forward to whenever it happens.
Feels like they're making the choice to try to fill buildings rather than get the best atmosphere possible. If we know for a fact, given what happened with the Tokyo Joshi Pro show, that cheering is allowed at Oda City War Gymnasium if you do half capacity, that's clearly not something New Japan is interested in right now. So
no,
just a side note. We're in a really weird time right now where we're going to start to see here and there more and more shows, you know, having crowd cheering. And then so the juxtaposition of, you know, of some promotions, some venues, some shows having it and some not is going to make for odd watching. But anyway, talk about odd. The opening tournament match, Block D, I guess odd just in the sense that who would have thought even a couple years ago this would be a G1 match. El Phantasmo versus Yujiro Takahashi. I'll go with ELP to get his second win, start up the tournament strong, 4 points. I'm always anxious and ready to give Yujiro a big 0.
I know it, but, you know, a battle of the bastards. You could easily see Phantasmo tripping over his foot and then Yujiro doing something with interference from the outside and getting the victory. I hope that's not the case. El Phantasmo seems to be the next thing. He should be one of the next things.
Maybe Yujiro will just lay down for him. They've done that sort of story. I teased that a few times in previous G1s. So,
oh my God, can you imagine that? Just a rolling, just reversals of small packages over and over again with these two guys. But I'll say Phantasmo gets the victory here. And, you know, you did mention something else, too, about wanting to fill crowds up. And that's one of the reasons, too, that I don't think we're going to see a Aaron Hanare or a Jonah or a Taichi or a Yujiro or somebody that doesn't look like they're expected to do anything. I can't see them in the semifinals or the finals because the way they've been booking and the way that they have featured their top stars and gone back to the well with things over and over again, it's because they're top stars and they do want to fill buildings the best they possibly can. So probably something else to keep in mind here. We could see it may be very hot, top heavy with the stars.
Yeah, no, that's clearly what they've been doing. I can't argue with that. I mean, the counterpoint to that would be they haven't been filling buildings doing that. So maybe try something different, but I don't know. The numbers will tell by the end. We've got Sonata versus Taichi. This will be a peck popping battle. If you saw them against each other in a tag match at Korakuen, that seemed to be a preview of both the match and the peck popping standoff. I will go with Sonata. God, this is one of those where it's so hard to pick because they're both pretty much at the same level. But I'll go with Sonata, which would put him at 2, keep Taichi at 2. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I should have gotten a coin here to flip it because it's the same way. I gave Sonata an L earlier on with Taichi getting a victory. So I'll go ahead and reverse it here. Sonata gets the victory here, giving him 2 points for me, keeping Taichi at 2 points. Next match, Block A, Match 8, Jeff Cobb, Bad Luck Fale, another one. I doubt we'll see a double disqualification or a double countout, but I could see somebody get counted out or have a disqualification in this match. Regardless of how it goes, I'm going to give Jeff Cobb the victory here.
Yeah, I'll go with Cobb as well. Literally, the only thing I care about this match is whether or not Jeff Cobb is able to hit the Tour of the Islands on Bad Luck Fale.
Oh, God, please. He's strong enough to do it. Let's see if Fale has got enough dexterity to swing himself around and take it. But
I would say that would be the gif of the year, but that would get your Twitter account taken down, so you can't.
That's if you haven't gotten it already taken down with the Adventures of the Great Okan around the world. But Block C, main event, Match 9, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tetsuya Naito.
This will be very good. I will be interested, though. Their match at in the New Japan Cup was good, very good, but it was not necessarily at the level of what you would expect a Naito versus Tanahashi match, and that might have been, you know, a bit smaller building. You know, it might just be the reality of where both of these guys are at in their careers right now in terms of health. But, you know, when you look at a lot of the other things throughout the tournament so far, this on paper should be one of the best matches. I will go with Tetsuya Naito getting the win, going to 4 points, keeping Tanahashi at 2.
I will do the same. I will absolutely do the same. Naito gets the victory here, giving him 4. And for me, you know, keeping him tied with Zack Sabre Jr. at the top of the list through 5 days. Takes us now to day 6, July 26th. First of 2 nights at Korakuen Hall.
A lot of back-to-backs, if you've noticed. Something, you know, a little bit different from previous G1s. Yes, we sometimes have back-to-backs. Sometimes even have 3 nights in a row at Korakuen. You'll get, you know, 2 shows in Osaka. But this is, you know, much more stacked back to back. Again, makes sense with, you know, the scattershot nature of the blocks. But yes, 2 nights in a row, 26th and 27th at Korakuen, gets underway with the Great Okan versus Chase Owens. If I remember correctly, Chase Owens pinned the Great Okan in a singles match in Washington, D.C., leading to that tag title match. So I will go with Great Okan getting on the board and getting his win back here.
Yes, I say the same thing. I'm just looking at the names in this block, and I'm wondering where I'm going to give Chase the victory here. But we'll see. Okan gets the victory. 7th match, Block C, Kenta, the King of Darkness, Evil.
God, this is one where I will just outright say, if this was not one of my jobs to watch this, I would probably skip this one. I don't really particularly care. I'll go with Kenta because I don't want to give Evil any points. And I forever will operate as though Evil has no chance of ever winning any of these tournaments, even though he is in the mix sometimes. he's at probably his lowest point since the turn, as far as, you know, he's not in contention for any singles title, just lost the never open weight six man tag team titles while being locked in a dog cage because New Japan can really suck sometimes. God, that Les Corkin, by the way, not good. Dick Togo versus Toru Yano, followed up by that never open weight six man. Not my type of wrestling, but yeah, I'll go with Kenta.
Well, I'll go with Evil. Not that I want to, but because it's Evil. And for the reasons you mentioned, I cannot see him being in the race by the end, but him, you know, cutting Kenta's Achilles here a little bit as we see Tanahashi and Naito.
God, don't say that. He's had enough injuries.
Oh, yeah, really? Yes, as we see Tanahashi and Naito. Probably at the end, I'm going to go with Evil here, giving him 2 points. Another guy we're going to be talking about for the first time, our very own Filthy Tom Lawler, semi-main event, Block A.
Crazy that we're 10 days into the tournament on the calendar, and we still have guys having their first tournament match. And as you said, Filthy Tom Lawler against Lance Archer. Tom is probably going to kill me for saying this, but I'm going with Lance Archer only because I'm struggling to see where they're going to get Lance Archer his points. This, though, honestly, I'm going to say, you know what? Screw it. I'm actually changing it. I didn't fully say it. I'll go with Tom Lawler winning via countout. I think Filthy Tom will get a rear naked choke on the outside. Lance Archer will not be able to get back in, and Filthy will get on the board that way.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, once we make our picks, we cannot go back. When it gets to be like August 7th or whatever, we can't go back and change something.
No.
Later. No. So we are.
We can't go. Once we leave the show we're talking about, like once in a few minutes, once you get to the 27th, we can't go back and change what we said for the 26th. It's written in stone.
Exactly. Once we talk about Finley and Robinson, whatever we said about Lawler and Archer, it's over with. And what I'm going to say about it is that Filthy Tom Lawler gets the victory. I could see Lance Archer getting the victory, being an AEW guy. And as you mentioned, when points are going to be tight, it's going to be interesting. But New Japan strong, longest reigning champion, Filthy, I'll give him the victory over Lance Archer because really in the world of AEW, there's nothing that could happen to Lance Archer that's really going to affect him there once he comes back and they have him do whatever it is whenever he makes his appearances.
No, he's here because they don't particularly care about, you know, I mean, obviously they would like to have him get some wins, I'm sure. But I mean, they're clearly very protective of their massive roster if they only sent one person over and that person was Lance Archer. So yeah, like I said, I could very easily see Lawler getting sort of a count out victory here. Main event, David Finlay versus Juice Robinson, a ton of history between the two of them, former tag team champions, former World Tag League winners, no longer a team. I will say that David Finlay will get, I guess what you could say is a bit of an upset win and will defeat Juice Robinson.
That makes complete sense to me. It makes complete sense. I'm still giving Juice the victory, but you do look at this and you go, it's the main event at night one of Korakuen, and even with all the history that they have, is there a reason that they're doing this? So we'll see. I'll go with Juice for right now. But I wouldn't be putting money down against David Finlay that night.
No. I think there's a pretty good shot that he'll get the win.
All right, so that's Juice's first victory for me as we move on to night 7, September 27th, July 27th, the next night at Korakuen Hall. First match, sixth match on the show, Will Ospreay, Yujiro Takahashi, Block D, Will Ospreay.
Yeah, Will Ospreay. Nothing really else to say about that match. Talk about matches I don't have much to say about. Toru Yano and Bad Luck Fale. This will be ridiculous, I'm sure. You will think that smoking is legal in Japan with all the smoke and mirrors taking place in this match. Toru Yano will get the win. That'll get him on the board for me. Keep Fale at zero.
Yeah, the only way Fale doesn't get the victory here is if he's disqualified for kicking too much ass or something like that. So Fale gets the W here. Block C, Hirooki Goto, Aaron Hanare, which, boy, I hope it's actually
Hanare
a good match.
His first 2 points here.
Really?
Yeah, I think at some point, at some point he's got to get wins. And as we've talked about over and over with these smaller blocks, there's less chances for upsets. Goto's a guy who, I mean, he is what he is, and he's been that for so long as far as where he's slotted. So it'd be a nice solid win for Hanare.
I like the cut of your jib. I'm actually going to take Aaron Hanare here too. Because for the exact reasons you mentioned, what does it matter? He's got to get a victory at some point. I can't see him pulling a zero. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I don't necessarily see him getting more than two, but I don't see him pulling a zero.
Yeah, and so where else does he get the victory? I don't know. We'll see as we go along. Maybe I give him another one here, but I'm actually going to go with Aaron Hanare here. The same way I'm actually going to go with Tama Tonga, just because right now Tama Tonga more in the discussion, more in the race of things than Tomohiro Ishii, and I believe that if Tama Tonga got a big victory over Ishii at Korakuen, it would help to, again, further solidify him as a somewhat of a singles threat and in better position. Could Ishii absolutely win this match in the main event? Sure he could, but I'll go with Tonga getting a victory here.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Again, I feel like I'll go with Ishii because he has to get some wins at some point. I think a lot of it boils down to, like, what's the plan with Tama Tonga? Like, is he in this tournament more because other guys weren't available? Because his tag team partner, his brother, is injured, or I obviously just came off of losing the never open weight title. I don't know. It's tough to read where they're going with Tama Tonga, but I'll go with Tomohiro Ishii, which gets him on the board. That then takes us to, you guessed it, back-to-back nights, this time at Aichi Prefectural Gymnasium / Dolphins Arena. Shingo Takagi versus David Finlay, Block D. A really fresh match, actually. Like, I can't recall the two of them having a high-profile singles match. Maybe I'm forgetting something in a tournament. But Shingo Takagi, David Finlay. I have Finlay at 4 points already going into this. Shingo Takagi, I will say, will get the win, get to 4 points. And this will be another one of those that it maybe won't be talked about by the end of the tournament as, like, match of the tournament, but I think it will be, it's probably an afterthought to a lot of people, and I think it'll be better than people are expecting.
I will give Shingo his third victory and giving him 6 points, which at that point would put him at the top of the Block D standings. Block A, seventh match, Tom Lawler, Jonah.
This is an interesting one in that you could make an argument that over the past year, this might be the two most protected guys on the New Japan Strong roster, in that Tom Lawler, up until very recently, was the Strong open weight champion. And Jonah has been an unstoppable monster in Strong since he started appearing on that show. I'm going to go with Tom Lawler. And I just wonder, maybe we're going to see a theme where Tom Lawler wins a bunch of matches where he chokes guys out on the floor and they can't get back in time and they get counted out.
Look, I can see him losing one in the same sort of way, something where he's got the advantage and then still ends up taking an L to keep him strong. I wouldn't fall over shocked at that. And this was another coin flip one for me because, as you mentioned, how well these guys have been protected. And part of me is saying you should probably take Jonah, but I can't do that. I'm going to take Filthy to get the victory here. But there is a large part of me that says, well, Jonah, because here's the thing, Jonah could beat Filthy and nothing really that doesn't upset any apple carts of any kind. He was the longest reigning champion, who still is not. Jonah's still on the hunt for Fred Rosser and for everything else going on. So again, who knows exactly what's going to happen here, but I'll give Filthy a second victory.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Maybe that gets parlayed into Jonah getting a strong open weight title shot because, we're still in the early stages of Fred Rosser as champion and not a whole lot, in terms of where that reign is going to be going just yet, who he'll be defending against. So maybe we'll learn something here. Great O'Conn against Sonata. I'll go with Great O'Conn. I don't know. This is one of those where it could be really good. It's funny because, like, these are two of probably, maybe the most polarizing guys on the New Japan roster as far as some people thinking they're great and some people thinking they're terrible. I think both of these guys are great. So I'm hoping that they prove me right and deliver here. But, you know, this could just end up being kind of a ho-hum match.
I hope not. But it's Sonata. Hopefully, if nothing else, hopefully it's funny. if you can't give me quality, at least give me fun. And I'll go with Sonata getting the victory here in the semi-main event of this show, bringing him to 4 points, keeping Okan at 2. Which
I'll tell you one thing. I'm disappointed with the blocks for Okan in that we don't have really any possibility for those different style fights that he excelled in last year, whether it be the awesome match with Kota Ibushi, the match with Zack Sabre Jr. Like, you look at guys, you know, that he could have had that style of match with ZSJ in a different block, Tom Lawler in a different block. I'm kind of sad we're not going to be getting that sort of action from the great Okan.
Okan and Yano.
Yeah. Oh,
well, maybe we don't want that, but yeah.
That's different, but when I say different style fight, I'm hearkening back to the old days of the non-mixed martial arts, mixed martial arts fights in New Japan that were promoted as different style fights. I want something like that, but we're not going to get that here with the way the blocks work out.
We may not, but we are going to get a great main event no matter what happens with Sonata and the Great Okan, because
hey, you don't know that. We could have another appearance by Enzo and Big Cass.
No!
This time at the Dolphins Arena, and it could suck the air out of the room and ruin the atmosphere for Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr. It happened once. We were there. We saw it with our own eyes. It could happen again.
Maybe the whole Jericho Appreciation Society can show up and just smash Jericho's gold record over both Tanahashi and Zack's heads here, but I don't think that's going to happen. This is interesting because, again, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. can easily get a victory here depending on what story you're trying to tell with Tanahashi.
I'm going Zack Sabre Jr. I think from a results standpoint, this is going to be a rough tournament for Tanahashi. The only thing I guess that could maybe change that is that, you know, we know how long-term Gato books, and I'm not trying to say that he had the G1 completely booked out as far as points and everything this time last year, or at least after last year's tournament, but the absence of Kota Ibushi and how well Kota Ibushi would likely have done in this tournament, you know, probably at least making it to the semifinal, you wonder if it's going to be another one of those times where it's, you know, you got Tanahashi encased in glass and you bust the window open and pull him out because you need him more than you thought you were going to.
Well, you know, we were talking at the beginning about, you know, wanting to fill these things up and some of the things that they've gone back to. And I think if we were in a different situation, I would be more apt to take Zack Sabre Jr. here, but I'm actually going to pick Hiroshi Tanahashi to have that win in the main event and be up there posing and doing your thing, because I'm kind of scared for the next night as well, too. But I think Tanahashi ends up getting the victory. But again, if Zack Sabre Jr. does get it here, I won't be shocked.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a pick-em, but I think the odds are greater on Zack Sabre Jr., which would get him up to 6 points for me, and it would keep Tanahashi, I believe, at only 2. That takes us to the following night, July 31st. As you said, the first show that has 5 block matches instead of 4. It is Block A that gets the double match treatment here at Dolphins Arena. Jeff Cobb versus Lance Archer. I will go with Jeff Cobb. These Hoss matches in Block A are tough to pick, but I'll go with Jeff Cobb.
I will as well, too. Same thing.
Again, I want to see if he can hit the Tour of the Islands on Lance Archer.
That's Can you imagine? Actually, I can't imagine. I can imagine Cobb doing it to anybody. He's awesome. But I'll go with Jeff Cobb getting the victory here as well, too, in another Battle of the Bruisers. By the way, for again, like you said, first time going to five matches on this show. Block D is the next match, the match number 6. Yoshihashi and Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson, with the whole attitude change, the whole 9 yards, getting sympathy on Yoshihashi should be pretty easy, but also getting a victory over him should be easy too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Juice as well. One of the things I'm most interested in seeing in this tournament is just from a match quality standpoint, what Juice's matches will be like, because he's one of those guys in previous G1s or New Japan Cups prior to the pandemic that I always feel like people didn't expect him to have great matches, and then he had some tremendous matches. I remember maybe it was the last G1 before the pandemic. He had an awesome, awesome match with Tetsuya Naito. It might have even been in that first pandemic G1, but he had a great match with Naito. But I think the jury's still out as far as match quality as a heel, how much are they going to lean into the interference, all that sort of stuff. But I'll go with Juice there. Jay White and Chase Owens. This might be the one. This might be the one where we have Jay White try to get Chase Owens a lay down for him.
I would think so. I would hope so, at least. We'll see what happens. But Jay White at the end is going to come out with his hand raised because they can't be crazy, can they?
I would like to think that they cannot. I can't fathom Chase Owens. I mean, I understand gold watches and all, but that's a bit much. If Chase Owens beats Jay White and then gets an IWGP World Heavyweight title shot, I don't think that will be happening.
I don't care if his trainer, Ricky Morton, runs in with his partner, Robert Gibson, and they both give Jay White a double drop kick. Jay White's still going to kick out and pin Chase Owens.
Yes, I would say that's a pretty safe bet. Kazuchika Okada, Bad Luck Fale. And I feel like you can never count out Fale in a match like this getting a shock win, but he also feels like he's never been less emphasized on the roster. And I know that's strange to say considering that he just had the IWGP tag team titles, but he's just such an afterthought. And Okada is anything but an afterthought. So I'll go with Okada. That gets him to 6, keeps Bad Luck Fale at 0.
Yeah, I need Okada to get a win just so he could keep pace with Jeff Cobb and Filthy. So Okada gets the victory here for me. And then in the main event, match number 9, Block C, Tetsuya Naito and Evil. Boy, oh boy. I'm going to go with Naito, although I'm feeling...
going Naito. I can't do it. I cannot give Evil the win here. It could happen.
You know where I'm coming from, right? You know the fear that I have of picking Naito here. I have this feeling that it's going to be Evil, and I don't like it.
I think there's a very good chance that you're right. I can't bring myself to do it. I have Naito winning, which would get him to 6 and would keep Evil at 0. I completely understand that this is wish casting on my part as far as Evil being at 0, but, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
That moves us to night number 10, Hamamatsu Arena on August 2nd. Block B opens us up. Tomohiro Ishii in the Great Okan. This is another one for Ishii fans where it's like, look, I can easily see Okan getting the victory here. I don't believe that he will. I think Ishii gets the victory, but don't fall over shocked.
Yeah, this is definitely a pick'em. I'll go with Ishii, though, and I think this is, again, going on a limb to say Tomohiro Ishii is going to have a great match, but I think this is our best chance at getting like a real high-end Okan, G1 match like we had a couple times and we talked about last year, those interesting matches that he had. That's that. Then we get to what for some people is the most anticipated match in the entire tournament. Toru Yano and Filthy Tom Lawler. I will say with all due respect to the former Strong Openweight Champion that this will be the banana peel for Tom Lawler. I think he'd be happy to slip on it. Toru Yano will get the victory. This is going to be wacky.
I'm taking Yano, and I feel as though I'm being worked into taking Yano because I think we have all, I think even to a person, I think Filthy Tom did say it. He'd be glad to lay down for Filthy. I didn't say, well, I don't know if he said that, but I know he would be fine to engage in shenanigans with Toru Yano where he would put himself at risk where he might lose the match. I'll frame it that way. And I'll be
shocked if each man's feet are not tied together by the end of this match.
I
don't know if I want to see this, but maybe Yano will wear matching jorts.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going. Can you imagine Tom
like
pulling DVDs out of his
like
jorts?
Blue Meanie level.
Oh my God, Tom with DVDs in his jorts and God knows what else in there pulling out to show off to Yano.
I'm telling you, Tom needs to do is come out as like 2004 era Toru Yano with the sake and the umbrella, that whole deal.
Oh my God. Oh my, and with Makabe. With Makabe.
There you go, exactly.
So I'll take Yano
there. Tom Lawler is the finally GBH getting a third member would be incredible.
Block B, Tamatanga.
Let's actually reform GBH. Screw Cass. Let's have Makabe, Honma, Yano, and Filthy.
Oh my God, please. They are my new four horsemen of this era. I'd be fine with that. Block B, Tama Tonga, and Sonata could go either way here. I'm going to go with Tama Tonga, actually. I'll go with Tama Tonga over Sonata. And that may lead to something more with the two of them later.
Yeah, I'll go with Tama Tonga as well. That would get him to 4 points. This will be, I mean, these are two of the, you don't necessarily think of them as like Izumi and Starlight Kid or anything, but two of the faster wrestlers in this tournament, so I'm sure we'll see some cool stuff throughout. But yeah, I'll go with Tama Tonga. That then takes us to Hirooki Goto and Kenta in a battle of two guys that to this point are at 0 points for me, which is not as bad as it sounds in that I think this is only Goto's third match and maybe... No, wait, I've got Kenta. Never mind. I've got Kenta at two because he beat Evil. So yeah, I will go with Hirooki Goto finally getting on the board, getting 2 points, defeating Kenta.
I have them both with zeros, though. You know, those two guys, Yujiro Yoshihashi and Chase Owens right now, is to write W's by everybody's name as we pick them. Neither one of them have a W next to their name, and I can't see that happening for either one, especially not Kenta. So
but the other thing, too, is didn't Kenta go really far last year? Like, wasn't it till the last night of the block action where he had a chance to make it to the... He had a chance to make it to the final, so I don't necessarily see them going that route 2 years in a row.
No, but him picking up a victory here, I can see him doing, so I'll give him his first 2 points, keeping Goto at zero for me, which leads us into the main event. Block D, hey, I'm sure it's going to be a great match. I'm sure David Finley's going to put on one hell of a performance, but by the time it's over with, he'll be looking at the lights and Will Ospreay will be celebrating a victory.
Yeah, I am going with Will Ospreay as well. It just feels like, maybe it's the way the first half of the tournament is structured, it just feels like Ospreay is going a month between matches.
It really does.
Like, it just feels like, oh God, yeah, Ospreay's in this tournament. It's just, it's weird.
So we're to August 5th now. It is it the, is it the...
The Ihime item. I wonder if Rising Hayato of All Japan will be in attendance to watch this show. But no, probably not. So what we do have, though, is a pretty underwhelming card out of, with the exception of one pretty intriguing Hoss battle. We've got Juice Robinson, Yujiro Takahashi, and intra Bullet Club match, Juice Robinson.
Yeah, I got him getting the victory here, too. And that's probably all that needs to be said about that as we move on to Block B. Sixth match, Taichi and Chase Owens. Sorry, Chase.
Yeah, I'm going Taichi as well, which would get him to 4 points for me, I think. Yeah, so I'll go with Taichi there. Tetsuya Naito and Aaron Hanare. Sorry, Hanare, you got your win earlier against Goto. Naito needs to rack up those points. He's beaten Hanare here.
Yep.
Which would get him to 8 for me, which I think would be the first person up to 8.
Same here with me, too, with this victory getting him up to 8. So that's the way I think that one's going to go. And that takes us to Jonah and Jeff Cobb, which is
the only interesting match on this show.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, to both of us, obviously, the most interesting thing here, the semi-main event, a battle of two guys hammering each other. And it's another one, boy, there's stories you could tell for later on and everything, but I just think where Jeff Cobb is, building up United Empire, all that sort of thing, Jonah's going to have his time, he's going to get his victories, he's going to have a good time on this tour, but Jeff Cobb getting a victory here.
Yeah, that's I tend to think that as well. I've got Cobb getting the win, which puts him up to 6. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Evil. I've got to give Evil some points eventually, so I will go with Evil getting a shitty victory, pardon my language, over Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I already gave him one. I ain't giving him two, even though in a building like this, I can absolutely see Evil getting the victory, and then they go ahead and move on to the next day, but I'm taking Tanahashi here.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I fear that you were, in fact, very wrong.
Well, here's the thing with me, too, as I look at it, because I have Naito with 8, and that would give Tanahashi 6. If Tanahashi doesn't win this, it looks like Naito could easily run away with this bracket the way I have it right now. So that's another reason why, as I look at it, to just try to keep somebody close to Naito, which would be another reason I'd give Tanahashi the win here.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair. I hope it happens. I hope you're right. That then takes us to back-to-back nights, this time at Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium, which in a normal year, if crowd restrictions were not in place in terms of cheering, these would be two of the hottest shows of the year. Even with the crowd restrictions, though, I fully expect from a clap-based crowd environment, this will be one of the better ones, these two shows of the entire tournament. I expect some audible reactions to near falls, if nothing else, over the course of these two nights. And they're going to have some exciting stuff to sink their teeth into. We've got Yoshihashi and El Phantasmo, Block D. I will go with Yoshihashi getting on the board as Phantasmo's momentum starts to sputter in the latter stages of the tournament. Yoshihashi will get the win.
Yeah, I think so as well, too. And it doesn't damage El Phantasmo or anything like that. No big deal there. I think Yoshihashi gets a victory to start the night off with. We then move to Block A, match number 6 on the show. Toru Yano against Lance Archer, another one up in the air. But I don't have Lance Archer getting too many W's here. And I think him being pissed off and trying to kill Toru Yano, I think, is a very good possibility.
Yeah, I'm going with Archer. But in my mind's eye, I see a scenario where somehow Toru Yano is able to tie the Murder Hawk ponytail around the ankles of Lance Archer through, and it also weave the ponytail through the guardrails at the same time and get a count-out victory. But I'm going to not say that. I will say Lance Archer gets the win.
Can you imagine if Yano got back-to-back victories? He would be in the mix. No matter how you cut it, he's in the mix to win the damn block.
And you almost think at some point they're gonna do that. If they weren't so concerned about drawing, I mean, it is a semifinal, so you could have him win a block without having him make the final, which I guess would be, in general, the counterpoint to your argument about, only the stars, the top stars making it to the semifinals. You could say that, you know, you could give someone the cachet of having them win a block here in a year, where you wouldn't normally have them do it in a different year, because winning the block doesn't guarantee they're going to be, in the finals. But yeah, either way, I don't see that happening. Archer winning. Hirooki Goto versus Zack Sabre Jr. Again, I think this will be, we've talked about earlier, sleeper matches of the tournament. I think this definitely falls into that. I just don't see Zack Sabre Jr. winning his block, and so he's going to have to really slip on a banana peel at some point. I could easily see Goto, hitting one of his flash pin combinations here out of a Zack Sabre Jr. submission attempt and getting the win. So I will go with Hirooki Goto.
I am too, and that's pretty much the same reason why I don't have Goto with a victory yet. So this one gets him the victory, and Sabre, he's got two wins already. He's still technically in the mix there with Naito and Tanahashi. So again, Goto is not going to go through this thing with a zero. And if he is, then we need to all fear, because at some point in the next tour, he'll probably end up with Bullet Club. So that ain't going to happen. Yeah. Goto gets the victory here over Zack Sabre Jr. Moves us to the semi-main event, Block B. Great O'Conn and Jay White. I mean, come on.
Maybe the freshest match in this tournament. Like, when you think about guys who just have not interacted at all, in each of their current characters that they have. I also think that if Jay White wasn't the IWGP World Champion, I think I would be picking Great O'Conn here to get, a big win that kind of levels him up a little bit. But I'm going to go with Jay White getting the win and continuing to be undefeated so far in his block.
Yeah, same here. And that moves us to the main event, Block D, Will Ospreay, Shingo Takagi. And again, going to be a great match. How is it not going to be a great match?
How is it not going to be the match of the tournament, at least as far as the blocks go? Like, I almost don't see any scenario when you look at what we've got for block matches. I almost don't see any scenario where this isn't the match of the tournament, at least up until the semis and the final.
And it's the most important one for me right now, because I have them both tied with 3 wins so far going into this match. I will take Will Ospreay getting the victory here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Will Ospreay as well, which would get Will Ospreay to 6, because recall, I had him losing to El Phantasmo on the opening night. So that would get Will Ospreay to 6.
Then we move to night number 13. Another night in Osaka, August.
Definitely not quite the night from a match quality standpoint that the previous night is. You look at Goto, Zack Sabre Jr., Okanje, White, Shingo Takagi, Will Ospreay. Those all have the chance to be great. Yoshihashi and Phantasmo has a chance to be a bit of a sleeper match. But yeah, you look at Hinare versus Evil is the opener in Block C.
Yeah, not too exciting. And
you don't say. I'm going to go with Evil because he's going to get points, and this is a harmless way for him to get points.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I already got Hinare getting a victory here, and Evil's going to finish with more than Hinare. So at some point, he's got to do that, and that would give him 4 points for me, 2 wins. So I'll go with Evil here. Block A, Filthy against Bad Luck Fale.
I'm going with Filthy winning via countout after choking Bad Luck Fale out on the floor.
I like it. I'm going with Filthy. I don't know how he does it, but the more and more you talk about these things, I like it because you know what? At some point, that could also backfire on him in some possible way. We'll see, but I have a very specific
idea of how that could play into just as I scroll and look at what we've got coming up. Filthy's biggest match in the tournament, what that could lead to as far as a really cool, if you want to call it near fall or not, but yeah.
I likes it. So I'm giving Filthy the victory here. Block D, match 7. Juice Robinson, El Phantasmo. I'm going to go with LP.
Really?
I am.
I'm not. I'm going to go with Juice. Juice gets up to 6. Phantasmo just stays stuck at 4 after his hot start. Yeah, I mean, Juice is still, he's not the U.S. champion, but he's got the belt and he's going to be in that mix. So I don't see him dropping the fall to Phantasmo, but it could happen.
You never know. Some, you know, nonsense between these two could take place. And it is in the match in the middle of the show. And, you know, for me, that actually brings us up to the same points that we have for both of them. So, you know, we're pretty much still in the same spot here. Tomohiro Ishii and Chase Owens, Block B. Sorry, Chase. Once again, Tomohiro Ishii gets the win.
I'm going Chase.
Oh, no.
I don't want to go Chase, but they love them some Chase Owens. He's going to get a win in this tournament. Ishii is a big win for him to get. So I will say that Chase Owens defeats Tomohiro Ishii. Who knows? Maybe they parlay that into a Bullet Club versus Chaos. Never open weight 6-man tag team match coming up after the G1 at some point, because God knows we need another one of those. So I'll go with Chase Owens. That then takes us to the main event, Jonah and Kazuchika Okada. I am going to take Jonah.
You're a maniac.
Jonah is going to get a big win in this tournament. Okada needs a loss to create some doubt as we head toward the final night. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. I'm almost certainly wrong. But maybe they're going to go full Bam Bam Bigelow with Jonah and have him get some big wins.
Wow. You know, I would be more apt to follow you on that, but I already gave Okada a loss to Cobb at the beginning, and I can't see it happening to two no. guys, especially not Jonah being one of them. So
no, then it would be Okada's got a big boy weakness, and then he can't, you know, he's gonna get sad and get balloons, and it's just gonna get crazy.
That is, we really need to do a show on that.
I know it's not till the next night, or it's coming up in a few shows. I'm just gonna say it right now: if Filthy doesn't come out with long boys and balloons when he wrestles Okada, I'm gonna be very angry with him.
We really ought to do a show on that little bit of time, the when Okada finding himself with the ultimate reveal of him pulling his long boys off. I mean, that was something
that pub
else.
Pub in the UK going crazy. I know Dave Meltzer told me that was what happened.
Oh, my God. I love that. But, yeah, Okada gets the victory here. Did I actually write a W down next to his name? I think I have 6 for Okada, which keeps him at pace with Filthy and Cobb. I don't know if that was 6 or 8. I'll have to go back and count.
I've got him at 6 as well. We just have him losing to different hosses.
Okay, so yeah, so then that would be correct then. Cobb at 8, Okada at 6 at this point, tied with Filthy Tom Lawler. I love how that thing sounds. Yes. We'll see.
Yeah, I've got them tied at 6 as well, Okada and Filthy.
We got Hiroshima. The Sun Palace Hall is coming up. That is one of course, two shows taking place there in Hiroshima. On August 9th, Block D is the first one that kicks us off. Yoshihashi against Yujiro.
Yoshihashi will win. Let's
yes, I shall take Yoshihashi.
Sonata versus Chase Owens. I don't think Chase is winning back-to-back. Sonata's got to get a few points here. Chase already got his Gold Watch match win for the tournament. Sonata wins. That gets him up to 4. I assume you're on the same page?
I am indeed. I definitely go ahead and take him. You know, with Chase and Yujiro, I both have them with collars right now, and maybe they'll end up remaining that way as we go through the rest of this. Tama Tonga and Taichi, Block B. Second match from Block B will be match number 7 taking place right after that. I have given Tama Tonga a lot of wins here, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and continue for... I'm probably going to regret that when we do totals, but I will go ahead and give Tonga the win here over Taichi.
I'm going big Taichi. He's getting the win. That'll get him to 6. Jonah versus Lance Archer. Another one of these Haas battles in the A block. I've got Jonah winning. I'll go with Jonah winning, which gets him up to 6, which even if that's where he stops, him going 3-3 in his first G1 would be, you know, a good showing for him. As far as, you know, kind of where they want to have him in the pecking order, yeah, I'll go with Jonah.
Yeah, part of me is thinking, well, it doesn't matter either way, though. I think, again, I'll go with Jonah. Part of me is saying you should pick Archer, but Jonah, at this point, it puts him tied at 4 points apiece for both of those guys, which I can see them being relatively close together. You know, obviously Jonah... You know, with more upside than Archer at this point in their New Japan careers, you know, two different times. So I'll go with Jonah getting the victory here, which leads us into the main event of Tetsuya Naito and Kenta.
I'm going Kenta.
Are you?
There's going to be a banana peel for Naito. Kenta is going to channel Wrestle Kingdom post-match. He's going to ruin Naito's night. Kenta will get the win.
You know what? Before we move on, you're right. I like that. I am actually going to go with that. I'm going to go with Kenta over Naito here. And I probably just really screwed myself and somehow gave Aaron Hanari the block doing this. But I'll go with Kenta getting the victory. I could see that happening. I could see that. And again, I don't have Kenta getting a lot of victories here. So him being a real thorn in the side and an ass to somebody who's popular and somebody at the level of Naito, I could see it. So I'll go ahead and go with Kenta with you.
There you go. David Finlay, El Phantasmo, opens the next night, August 10th, Hiroshima Sun Plaza Hall, opening it as far as tournament matches go. Block D, I will say David Finlay will win here, get him up to 4, and Phantasmo will still be stuck at 4. There's always that guy that gets off to a hot start, and then you're thinking, oh man, this guy's going to go on a run, and then he just loses and loses and loses.
I will go with David Finlay. I will go with David Finlay, giving him his second victory here. So, and Phantasmo, I've already got him with 2. Those guys.
Maybe Finlay. Maybe Finlay can be the new Yoshitatsu. He can be the new Bullet Club Hunter.
Well, those guys in Yoshihashi, I could see all finishing around the same. And I have them all with 2 wins right now.
I don't know if I said Yoshihashi or Yoshitatsu. I meant Yoshitatsu. If you go back to that character, maybe we can get a Bullet Club / Elite Hunter trio of David Finlay, Yoshitatsu, and Frankie Kazarian.
Leave the memories alone, Adam. Leave the memories alone.
That's the real Forbidden Door, getting those three guys as a trio.
David Finlay, giving the victory there. So that moves us to Block B, match number 6, Tama Tonga, Great Okan. This is another one.
I'm going Tama Tonga, which keeps Great Okan at only 4, which I don't like. Gets Tama Tonga up to 6.
Jesus, I am giving Tama Tonga the win here, and I'm probably regretting that because I have him now with 10 points. I have him with 5 victories, and I don't know.
You have Tama Tonga with 10 points?
I think I do. I don't have him losing yet.
Jesus Christ, what has gotten into you?
Yeah.
Is Ming behind you threatening a nerve hold?
I guess. You know, he's got Chase Owens. He's got Ishii. So that could be a loss there. Yeah, I mean, as I kind of scroll back here and give the Sonata, I am giving Tama Tonga probably way too much credit. I am not going to change this quite yet, but we'll see. I don't have much time to.
There's no quite yet. No. It is what it is.
No,
you're
I mean,
locked
look,
and loaded.
Only a couple matches left to go before I can, but it's too late. Zack Sabre Jr. and Evil, we will move right on to it. Block C, Zack Sabre Jr. gets the win.
Yeah, I've got that as well. I have Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Evil, which gets Zack Sabre Jr. up to 8 points. Then we get to Kazuchika Okada, Tom Lawler, tied at 6 points. This is going to be awesome. So hyped for Tom Lawler to have this match with Okada. And I, you know, the way I've booked this with Tom Lawler, getting all these count-out wins after choking guys out on the floor, I say that we'll have that same spot here. Okada will seem like he's down and out, and he will get back in at 19.9 and go on to get the win with the Rainmaker.
Oh, man. Can you see Tom Lawler getting the victory? Can you see it? I can see it. I don't think it's going to happen. I'd really want it to happen. No pressure, Tom. It's only Kazuchika Okada, one of the best pro wrestlers in the world, and has been so for like the last decade. But hey, it's on you, buddy. You can do this. I don't think you will. Go with Okada. The same way Goto.
Say, you can do this, and then follow it up with, I don't think you will, which means you don't think he can do this.
Well, he can do it. I just, if I had to place money on it, you know, it's hard not to go with the Rainmaker himself. But Hiroki Goto and Tanahashi in the main event. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going with Okada if I didn't make that clear. But yeah, this will be fun. This is, in so many ways, I feel like this match is the culmination of Tom Lawler's post-UFC career. This whole tournament is, but particularly this match, and I'm just so excited to see how it plays out. Should be awesome.
I can see Goto beating Tanahashi here, but
I could, other than I only have Tanahashi at 2 points right now, I believe. And so he's got to get something at some point. And so I'm going to go with Tanahashi pinning Goto. Although you could make the argument, well, Tanahashi pinned Goto in the AEW interim title eliminator. The argument I'd make against that being a reason why Goto would get his win back is that that was not a planned match. We know that, I would imagine this G1 has been intricately booked out well before that Tanahashi-Goto interim title eliminator match was made. So I don't think that's going to have any impact on how this will go one way or the other. So I'll go with Tanahashi.
I have Tanahashi already with a bunch of wins, and I'm kind of making sure that I have all my W's correct with him. This would give him win number 4, which keeps him at pace with Naito. At this point, when I'm looking at it, I can see Naito winning this block, but it's going to come down, I think, to Tanahashi and Naito. And unfortunately for Goto, for Tanahashi to keep pace the way I have it, you know, he's sacrificed here. In real life, I can absolutely see him getting the victory, but I have Tanahashi now with 4. I have Naito with 4 and Zack Sabre Jr. with 3. And
have Naito with 4 points?
Oh, 4 wins. I'm sorry. Four wins. Jesus. 4 victories. Yeah, 8 points for he and Tanahashi and 6 points for Zack Sabre Jr., which keeps them, you know, again, well ahead of everybody else on that list, which I can see happening. I could see Goto getting a couple victories, finishing with maybe 4 or 6, but I don't think it's going to be against Tanahashi.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tanahashi will win here as well, as I said. We then go to the Not Lyoto Machida City General Gymnasium. A couple smaller shows here. We've got 5 matches, though, in the tournament. Aaron Hanare versus Kenta and Block C. Kenta will win, gets Kenta up to 4 points, I believe, for me.
Yeah, he gets him up to 6.
Or actually gets him up to 6 for me. I'm wrong.
That's right. He'd be 6 for me. You give him his 3rd win here. Again, Hanare, 2 points right now, and it may be staying that way. Block A, match number 6 on the show, Toru Yano and Jeff Cobb. Here, you know what? Oh, God. Can I give Can I give Toru Yano a win over Jeff Cobb?
You can do whatever the hell you want. It's Toru Yano. I'm going with Jeff Cobb, but you could absolutely go with Yano.
I'm going to go with Toru Yano.
There you go.
I can't believe I'm doing that.
Toru Yano's going to get some weird, wacky wins, so that could happen there. Tell you who's not going to get a win in the next match is Yujiro Takahashi. Shingo's going to take him down. 6 points for Shingo.
I have to think about this.
Are you trying to? You're actually having to put. That's the most thought you've put into any match is Shingo Takagi and Yujiro. Like, I legitimately thought your internet went out or mine did.
I'm trying not to give Yujiro an upset victory here.
Just don't.
I'm not. Okay, fine. I'm taking Shingo Takagi.
This show is long enough. What the hell are you doing taking 30 seconds on Shingo versus Yujiro?
You know why. You have those same fears. You just have busted through them.
I have zero fears of Yujiro defeating Shingo Takagi. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I don't.
Yeah, well, hey, look, I think even less of a possibility would be Yoshihashi defeating Will Ospreay and Black D, the semi-main event for that night. But
I would disagree on that being less of a possibility, but
really?
I still think Will Ospreay is going to win. I think Yoshihashi is undoubtedly positioned higher than Yujiro Takahashi is right now.
Well, he is, absolutely, but I could see a bunch of nonsense interference where Shingo takes a loss. But
hey, if you followed those Kenta promos last year, you know the Bo staff has a mind of its own. That Bo staff might just interfere on behalf of Yoshihashi and help him defeat Will Ospreay.
That is possible. That is possible. Will Ospreay, well, look, he'll need all the help that he can get. I think Will Ospreay gets the victory there, which at that point gives him 5 wins for me, keeps him at 10, and keeps him certainly ahead above everybody else, including Shingo, who I would have with 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I have Shingo at 6 at this point, and Yujiro still without a victory, and then Will Ospreay at 8, Yoshihashi at 4. That takes us to Taichi versus Jay White in the main event. I have Taichi at 6. I have Jay White at 8. I am going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that Taichi will be the guy to defeat Jay White in this tournament and get a future title shot before the Tokyo Dome. Taichi defeats Jay White and gets the 8 points.
I could absolutely see that. I could absolutely see that. But I have put myself in a position the way I've been picking these matches where if I'm to give Taichi the victory there, you know, I guess it still wouldn't matter. But Tama Tonga, with those 5 wins, I mean, I got to have Jay White keep pace with him. And I know they haven't wrestled yet. So in theory, you know, White can get the victory and go ahead of him. I'm not sure if I'm going to be seeing that happening. And again, I may have screwed myself up making these picks. And because of that, I have Jay White getting the victory there to give him 10 and keep him on pace here. So unfortunately, no major upset for Taichi, which I only have him with 4 points, 2 victories, and I could see him with more than that. But the way I put myself in this position, I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm probably way overshooting on Taichi. One of these years I'll do it and I won't be wrong, but we'll see.
But look, if you're going to make an October defense, if you have an October defense, whoever wins this is going to have the briefcase, obviously. And they're going to do what they can with it. So you already have a 1 contender that you have for the dome. That's going to be out of the way. You know, we're going to get more IWG title defenses either in Japan and in the States. I would be sure of both of them before the end of the year. So Taichi getting a win over White in Machida City, you know, you can absolutely go ahead and do that for later on in September or October or whenever you want to do it and have a damn good match with a good undercard with it. I can absolutely see it.
And a fresh match. I mean, these guys have barely interacted, if at all. And, you know, you have if you have a briefcase match with whoever wins the tournament, and that's a pretty high-profile match, to support a Taichi Jay White IWGP World title match, I think it could work. Again, this is pretty pie in the sky, and I'll probably be wrong, but I'm sticking to it. I'm going with Taichi.
That gets us to Nagano, the White Ring, August 14th, show number 17, match number 6, Block D.
Back to only 4 tournament matches for this show, by the way. We should mention that. But yes, Yoshihashi and David Finlay which is it's an interesting match in that it's two guys that are pretty evenly matched and evenly slotted.
Absolutely, and I have them both with 2 points right now, and I could see Finley easily getting the victory, again, depending on what they decide to do with him, you know, after all of this. But Yoshihashi, I'll go ahead and give him the victory here, pop in the crowd, give everybody something to smile about as the opening of the block matches begins for that night.
Yeah, I'm going with Yoshihashi as well, which would get him to 6, which would leave David Finlay at 4. Taichi versus the Great Okan. If Taichi wins on my board, that gets Taichi to 10 points. Screw it. I'm going with Taichi. Taichi to 10. Great Okan stays at 4. And Taichi just might be in the driver's seat in Block B.
Wow. I only have Taichi with 2 wins so far. I have Okan with 1. And I have Chase Owens with 0. So I am going to go with Okan here because I don't have Taichi in the mix. And I could easily see Okan getting disqualified or something stupid happening, but because I don't have Taichi in the mix and because I only have Okan with 1 win, I'll go ahead and draw those guys, you know, together with 4 points apiece because neither one of them are going to finish now worse than Chase Owens. And both of those guys at 4 with Ishii and Sonata ahead of them, I think that's a scenario which could happen. So I'll go ahead, take Great Okan there, bringing him to 4 points and taking us in to the semi-main event. This is, besides the Okada match, in my opinion, I dare say this is the biggest match that Filthy is going to have against Jeff Cobb, somebody who I really like a lot. I can't believe that this is not going to be super fun for obviously both of us and those of us who have followed Lawler and Cobb and like their styles and like who they are. So I'm going to go with Filthy getting the surprise victory. I don't know if it's a surprise victory, but I'm going to go in the battle of guys who lost to Toru Yano. I dare say it. Filthy defeats Cobb. And you know what we could see after that, since I've already said it? Filthy picks himself up one of those partners he's got over in the with the Filthy Dojo, with J.R. Kratos, with some member of Team Filthy.
He's got Royce Isaacs here in Japan.
Got
already.
Royce Isaacs right there. And I tell you what, Filthy and Royce Isaacs, Filthy and somebody losing to Cobb and Okan in a tag team match, or having a tag team match later on down the line. That's how I'll go ahead, justify Filthy defeating Cobb, gives them both 4 victories for me, tying them with Okada at that point. Everyone's got 8 points.
I like it. I would be cool with it. I admire your enthusiasm. However, I'm going with Jeff Cobb, which would get him to 10 points. I'm excited about this match, though, because I feel like Jeff Cobb's a great wrestler, but we don't see him in a lot of matches that show off, you know, the fact that this guy's an Olympic-level wrestler. But Tom Lawler is a guy who should be able to, you know, sort of pull that type of match out of him. So very excited for the match itself. But I'll go with Jeff Cobb, which keeps Filthy at 6 points, which is a very good showing for him in the tournament. This would be his final tournament match, which would get him at 3-3. No shame in that. That then takes us to the main event, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kenta. Neither guy in the mix for me, but I'll have Tanahashi get the win, which would get him up to 6 points as well. 3-3, respectable 500 record, given where Tanahashi is at in terms of his G1 trajectory in recent years.
I'm going with the Tanahashi under glass thing that you were talking about earlier on in the show. And I put myself in this position anyway with the point, so I'll go ahead and continue to ride with it. I'll give Tanahashi the victory here over Kenta, which would give him his 5th victory. And I should have probably looked ahead at the next night, although I can't, you can't do those sorts of things. Because I don't know. I'll go ahead and give Tanahashi the victory here, although, no, I won't. No, I'm going to give Kenta the win. I'm going to give Kenta the win because I just can't see Tanahashi winning the block, and he's not wrestling on the last night. And I know I looked a little bit ahead, but it's right there in front of my face, and I just, I just can't see Naito not winning this block. So I will give Kenta a really shitty victory. And I hate to say it, it's going to be a really ridiculous bastard type of victory here that he's
able
to... Well,
you also have to think back to the fact that this is their first singles match
since
the insanity at Wrestle Kingdom.
Exactly. And I'm sure that that something is going to rear its head there. So I'll go ahead with give Kenta the win. That way, it's Kenta, Naito, and Tanahashi. They all have 4 wins at this point right now. They all have 8 points. In reality, I don't think it's going to be that way. But that's the way I'll go ahead and close out night 17, which takes us to the most important night. And boy, I should have looked ahead, because as I was talking about Cobb and Filthy and Okada and all that sort of stuff, here's the one thing about Block A. There is no Filthy. There is no Jeff Cobb. Those are 2 guys who are going to have the night off, even though we have our, or at least not the night off, the night off from block play.
Well, it looks like the night off. I mean, this is a 8, at least as of now, it's listed as an 8 match show, all block matches.
Yeah, they could add 2 zero matches to it, or 2 warm-up matches. It's possible, but, you know, with that being said, we'll start with what they have listed as the first match, which is Block D. Will Ospreay.
We should note that a lot of times these final nights of block action, like it all, as far as what the main event is, it all comes down to how the points shake out on the final night. Like usually what's listed as the card order is not what the actual card order is by the final night. But anyway, proceed.
Will Ospreay and Juice Robinson. I have Will Ospreay with 5 wins. I have Shingo with 4. And I could see, again, this is how they have this listed, too. 2 Block D matches, 2 Block C, 2 Block B, 2 Block A. Hard to believe that that won't change. I'm going to give Juice Robinson the victory here, which would give him 4 wins and keeps Ospreay at 5. But I look at the next match, and I'll do these together, Adam, so you go ahead and you do yours together here. You know, with Shingo and Phantasmo coming next, I have Shingo with 4 points. I can see Shingo getting the victory here over El Phantasmo, you know, which puts them in a tie. And I have Ospreay defeating Shingo earlier on, if I'm not mistaken. So I would have Ospreay winning that block, and I think that's a great example. Let's say that scenario happens. That's the scenario where you're going to see these matches get shaken up a little bit in the blender and be put strategically on this show to lead to drama to build towards the end with Okada and Archer or whoever the main event's going to be.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, the way I have this working out is I think Shingo's going to beat Phantasmo either way. That gets Shingo to 8. But that really, if I look at my board, that really doesn't do him any good because he already lost to Ospreay. And so Ospreay, for me, is coming into this with 8 points. So really, it's kind of already decided, I guess, that Ospreay wins the block. But I'll have Ospreay winning Juice Robinson, which gets him to 10 points, and yeah, there's nobody else that can reach him, so yeah, that would give Will Ospreay the block victory.
Yeah, I have Ospreay now winning it as well too, and you know, Ospreay and Juice doesn't sound like it's going to be jerking the curtain on the block play, so we could easily see some other matches be in that spot where it happens a little bit later where Shingo gets that victory, at least for me, in advance, leading towards Ospreay and Juice, where boy, he really needs Juice to get a victory here, you know, to even try to... Actually, it doesn't even matter to keep pace. There's no way...
I think it's far more likely that, actually, looking through this, if it plays out this way, that Shingo will beat Ospreay to then create more drama in the final night, kind of like you're laying out.
Absolutely, yeah, and that would be possible. But unfortunately for me, I already picked Ospreay, so going into this thing, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. Shingo ends up with 10 points, tied with Ospreay, but you know, you can have a, you know, feel good about that, But ultimately, Ospreay goes ahead and advances into the semifinals with 2-4-6-8, 10 points, 5 victories, tying him with Shingo. Juice Robinson, then 4 for me. Yoshihashi, 3 victories. LP, Finley, 2 victories apiece. And Yujiro takes the 0.
Yeah, I've got Yujiro at the 0 as well. It's kind of a mishmash of mediocrity past the top two for me as well. But yeah, Will Ospreay winning block D. Block C, to me, it all comes down to Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr. I have Naito coming into this with 8 points. I have Zack Sabre Jr. coming into this with 10 points. But if Naito gets the victory, he's tied with Zack Sabre Jr. at 10, and he has the tiebreaker, so he would move on. I will say Tetsuya Naito defeats Zack Sabre Jr., ties him at 10, wins the tiebreaker, wins the block. And then the other match, which is kind of inconsequential, will be Evil defeating Goto. We can set up a House of Torture versus Chaos, never open weight six-man tag title, because that also can never end.
Yeah, I have...
I don't say that because I want it, by the way.
I have Evil defeating Goto, which keeps Goto at 2 points, which sucks. But, hey, that's the way it goes. I'll give Evil the victory there, giving him 3 wins and 6 points. Actually, that's a great reason to give Goto the win here, just so they stay tied with 4. But the hell with it. I'll give Evil the win, which then with Naito, I have Naito defeating Tanahashi. And I need Naito to win here over Zack Sabre Jr. to try to keep pace with Tanahashi and put himself in the finals. I'll say he does that, and he gets that victory. He gets the 5th one, putting him over Tanahashi, holding that tiebreaker. So it looks like our first semifinal, the way it's set up, is A faces B and C faces D at the Budokan. The next night on the 17th, I'll go with a Naito Ospreay C&D.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I've got as well. I've got Naito winning the block. I've got Ospreay winning the block, which we've talked about before on previous episodes, that's one of the kind of the last things that they can fire off that's a real fresh, high-profile big match between two top stars who haven't really had a big feud or a big series, that being Naito and Ospreay. So yeah, I would have no problem with that at all, and that's what I've got as well. And then with the D block, it's kind of a mishmash of mediocrity after that, with Evil, Tanahashi, sort of in the mix together, Kenta, Goto, Hanare pulling up the rear with his 2 points. So that's we each have Naito and Ospreay as one semifinal.
Take it to Block B now, the match that means the least to me on this, not the least to me personally, but when it comes to the standings, Tomohiro Ishii and Sonata, I'll flip the coin and it lands on Sonata, giving him 1 more victory than Ishii has here, which is not a bad number for Sonata at all, too, with 8 points, very respectable. Ishii finishes with 6. So that doesn't have any impact on what the final is going to be, which is, look, Jay White and Tama Tonga was kicked out of the Bullet Club by Jay White on Impact, all that stuff that happened with them. I have given probably too many victories to Tonga as this thing has gone on. I have him with 5, which is the same as the IWGP champion Jay White. I don't think that's really going to happen, and I don't think if it does come down to something like this, like Adam mentioned, we could see some surprises, because you could have Okada and Tonga. You could have Cobb and Tonga. You could have Filthy and Tonga if you wanted to. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I give Jay White the victory, and he ends up moving on with the 10 points. And look, I can see them having a match later on down the line. I could even see him having a title match, which would be a reason to give Tonga a victory here and get him into the semis. I just don't think that's the mentality right now, but let's see.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I also have Sonata beating Ishii, which would give Sonata 6. It would keep Ishii at only 4, I think, if my math is correct. And then Tama Tonga and Jay White. the way this, okay, this is actually kind of crazy. The way this works is that Jay White needs to, he's at 8. He needs to win to get to 10 to keep pace with Taichi. But Taichi has the direct win already over Jay White. There is nothing that can be done. The die has already been cast. Taichi has won Block B. The only thing that's left now is, can Tama Tonga earn a future IWGP World Heavyweight title shot or not? I'm going to say no. Jay White gets the win, ties Taichi at points, but he lost that direct match, like I said, so Taichi wins Block B.
I like it. I like it. And look, if I gave Tonga the victory, we're basically speaking the same language here, because instead of Taichi in your world getting the semi-main or getting the into the semifinals and getting a future title shot, I just have Tama Tonga doing it. So, or in theory, could be doing that. I'm still giving Jay White the victory and putting him in the semifinals, just because, again, a weird situation here, too, with the IWGP Heavyweight Champion being involved in this, having four blocks where you're going to semis in a final. I don't know if that's got any, you know, do they want to make sure they have the IWGP Champion as one of the final four? I can see that being a decree in Jado's mind that's the way he wants to do things. But who knows? The way I have it, like I mentioned, Jay White gets the victory and what comes down to a one-on-one for those guys to decide everything, which, again, also with the scenario I'm talking about, probably puts it as either the main event or the semi-main event on the show. One of those two is probably going to be Kazuchika Okada, just because he's a star. And the way I have this, I got Okada in trouble. I only have him with 4 wins. I got Cobb with 4. I got Filthy with 4. I'm sorry to Cobb. I'm sorry to Filthy. I love them both. I want to see them both one day win the G1. It ain't going to be this year. I give Okada the victory, giving him 10 points, keeps Archer with only 2 victories at 4. He gets to leapfrog Cobb and Filthy. We have a little bit of drama for Block A, but ultimately Kazuchika Okada comes out of it with the win. Oh, and by the way, Jonah defeats Bad Luck Fale as well.
Yeah, let me actually look at what I've got right now. So I've got Okada going into this with 8 points. I've got Jeff Cobb going into this with 10 points. His only loss was to Okada. Okada has to beat Lance Archer to tie Cobb. Not Ty Cobb, but to tie Cobb. And then he would get the block win because he has the tiebreaker. He defeated Jeff Cobb. So it'd be kind of like the scenario that I laid out earlier with Naito and Zack Sabre Jr. Or even more so with Taichi and Jay White. And I'm going to say it's going to happen. Okada will defeat Lance Archer. That will give him the tie. He's got the tiebreaker. He will win the block over Jeff Cobb. I will also say that Bad Luck Fale will defeat Jonah and get on the board, get his 2 points. Not that consequential in the grand scheme of things. And what that will give for me is a semifinal on the following night, August 17th, Tetsuya Naito versus Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada versus Taichi.
Man. Okada and White, Naito and Ospreay for me.
I mean, that from a star power standpoint, that's pretty much the 2 biggest semifinals you could have. Like, I think yours is far more likely than mine.
Yeah, so well, the more I look at it, it's like, man, it's on paper, yes. And it is on paper as I'm scribbling this down. And by the way, God, I hope we did our math correctly as we've been going along with this thing. There may be a screw up somewhere. Hopefully it is not something that is going to affect anything. I'm sure somebody will tell us about it if it is. I look at A, it's like I probably should not have given Filthy a victory somewhere along this line because I could see Cobb being more in the mix than Filthy, you know, having Okada jump 2 guys, including one being Filthy, as much as that would mean to Tom and to New Japan Strong, you know, in theory. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I definitely think that Jeff Cobb is going to be a thorn in the side of Okada, and I can absolutely see Jeff Cobb coming out of this because of the way it's set up, you could have Cobb come out of this, lose to Jay White, or, you know, and again, I don't know if you're going to have Cobb come out
of
Block
A. That's just a weird semifinal, though.
It is.
Like, if you're talking about from an interest standpoint, it's just a weird one.
It is. It would be really, really weird. And then also, too, that's another thing. If you have Cobb come out of that block, and in my scenario, it's like Cobb, Jay White, Ospreay, and Naito. It's like, times have changed, but do you really only want Naito to be the only Japanese? You know, and would that even happen? It's again, times have changed. It's a little bit different, and they look at Ospreay and Jay White certainly much more differently than they, you know, again, it's what we've been doing since Finn Balor. They've been more open to these sorts of things, but even that, I just can't see that being the case. You're going to have at least Okada, Tanahashi, Naito, some combination of those big guys in the mix to me.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think so. I will choose. Oh man, this is a tough one because they've been pushing the Naito's last chance to find a way to main event the Tokyo Dome is through winning the G1. But you have to remember there's two Tokyo Dome nights in a row. There should be. I would imagine there will be. I can't imagine they're going to go back on that. And so I don't think Naito needs a win here to make it to a main event of one of the nights of the G1. I'm going to say Will Ospreay gets the win over Tetsuya Naito. Okada gets the win over Taichi to set up Will Ospreay versus Kazuchika Okada in the final. And I will say on the 18th at Budokan that it will be Kazuchika Okada defeating Will Ospreay, winning the G1 in back-to-back years. I'm saying that for a couple of reasons. First off, I don't see why you would have had Okada lose the belt to Jay White unless you're doing that to free him up to win the G1 and set up him going after the title at Wrestle Kingdom. You know, we know they don't really like having IWGP champions win the G1. I think Okada is winning this. The other aspect of why I think that's happening, as much as usually, you know, they're thinking 2-3 years ahead, so much of this 50th anniversary year has all been about Kazuchika Okada being the guy, not just right now, but all time in New Japan. That's what's being pushed. And really the only blemishes they headed into that year was the fact that Okada won the G1 last year, but he won it in a very deflating, underwhelming way. You know, you had the match with Ibushi, which was just kicking into a high gear, obviously was on the way to being an incredible, incredible match and would have been, you know, a signature achievement in Okada's career to end Ibushi's G1 run. You know, that ended just so flat, just left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. Here you have him have the level of match that he would have had with Ibushi against Ospreay and really come away with a really memorable G1 to head into Wrestle Kingdom season. I could see that happening and then see whatever the fallout is, whoever has the IWGP world title at the end of night one of Wrestle Kingdom defending against Naito. I know they've done that before. Maybe they do that this time, though, and Naito falls short.
Well, gets down to that last night for me. You know who was not in last year's G1? Will Ospreay. And I can see Will Ospreay getting a victory over Naito, I think for the same reasons you mentioned. As long as it's a really good match and Naito stays Naito, you can figure out a way to get him into the main event of one of those shows. Absolutely you can. Whether that happens or not, completely different story. We could have Hiromu in an IWGP Junior versus Heavyweight title defense.
The other thing, just to jump in, with Naito is that yes, they've been pushing so hard on commentary, backstage promos that, you know, Naito is, you know, he has to win. He has to win to be able to, you know, to get into the main event of the Tokyo Dome. And usually for superstar, star-level wrestlers, when they promise to win something in New Japan, they win it. However, at some point for everyone in New Japan, and we've seen it with Tanahashi time and time again in the past couple of years, there's a point where the top guy, or one of the top guys, you know, a top guy, he promises to win and he's not able to get it done. And that sort of is the beginning of their slow slide away from being the focal point of the company. And I just wonder if that's what's going to happen with Naito here.
You know, as you're talking, I'm looking at the final four that I have with Okada, White, Naito, and Ospreay. And maybe for me, it's a lot easier because I'll have Ospreay defeat Naito. I'll have Okada defeat Jay White. Okada already now has a built-in, I shouldn't say built-in, but he defeated Jay White, which means later on he's got a stake and a claim at the IWGP Championship, or at least a title shot. Gives us Okada and Ospreay. I'll go with Ospreay getting the victory. And I know with what we're talking about, with them looking at natives and all that sort of stuff, and wanting to build up what they can and extract as much as they can out of their home audience, the reality of the situation is Ospreay's a longtime future star for them, as long as he can hold himself together. Him defeating Okada doesn't hurt Okada, especially because Okada's got the victory over White. Ospreay is now mouthing around with that briefcase, his big mouth. Could we see a whole lot of interaction between LIJ and United Empire by the end of the year? You sure bet. Could I see Naito winning the U.S. title in America, because that would make people go bananas by the end of the year against Ospreay? A little bit less of a shot, but I could see it happening. But one thing I could definitely see happening is if Ospreay does win this briefcase, we have Okada White, we have Naito, and Ospreay at some point where, like you talked about, the guy who tries and fails. Oh my God, can you imagine Kevin Kelly talking, what are we going to do about Naito over the next couple of months? He had his shot and he lost his shot. Unless he can beat Ospreay and take that briefcase away from him down the line. I don't know if they do that, but it's at least possible. I think one thing is for sure, Jay White's got to deal with Will Ospreay and Okada coming out of this thing. And I think Ospreay walks out of it with the trophy, with the briefcase, and everything else comes with it.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I can't fathom that, let's say, within the next 3-4 years tops, we're not going to see Will Ospreay win the G1. So, you know, I mean, this year would be as reasonable of a time as any. And, you know, for all the reasons we talked about, with Wrestle Kingdom being a multi-night deal in recent years and most likely going forward, it opens up so many other options. It also, you know, we finally saw, you know, with Ibushi losing the briefcase to Jay White before, we've seen that in the mix now. That's a possibility. But yeah, I wouldn't say that would be a shock. I think either way, it's, you know, I guess we both have Ospreay versus Okada in the final, but I have Okada winning, you have Ospreay winning.
Yeah, it's going to be, and one thing is for sure, unfortunately, Kota Ibushi is not going to be anywhere near the Tokyo Dome as it sounds right now.
No, shoulder worse. The last thing he said in sort of a informal Twitter Q&A with fans is that his shoulder is worse now than it was last December.
Yeah, we're recording this on 7/12. I think it was literally last week on Tuesday, the 5th, where he came out and talked a little bit about that. And yeah, it just doesn't sound good, and it's frustrating for him. You know, you heard about Kenny Omega talking about his recovery, how much trouble it's been for him as well too. But boy, you know, it's, and unfortunately too, what Kota Ibushi also said, he did bring up the fact that he was false advertised in his mind. Again, was New Japan hoping against hope that he'd be back? Maybe, but unfortunately, with the way he frames it, they damn well knew he was nowhere near ready. And you know what? With how things have worked out with him still being hurt, you know, unfortunately for New Japan from a promotional point of view, you know, it looks really bad on them. That was dirty, you know, 90s style WWF type of dirty pool of false advertising. I don't like that at all. But, you know, those two sides are going to have to obviously come together at some point. Who hurts in this? The fans, obviously, with not having Ibushi in the fold and him not feeling comfortable with the people that he's working with. But hopefully that all works itself out. We do have a distraction from a wrestling point of view, obviously, with the G1 going on and such stars as Okada and White and Naito, Tanahashi, Ospreay, and guys like LP and Juice coming back, and new guys, you know, Cobb, where's he at right now? Jonah coming in. There's a lot of good stuff that's going to be taking place, you know, amongst these 28 guys here over the next month.
Yeah. Throughout the G1 and afterward, quick plug as we close this almost 2 hour show out. I wrote in sort of an abbreviated edition of the Three Count Fall newsletters. After a slower month, I'm getting back to doing that more regularly. I wrote about the New Japan Business Strategy press conference, where they talked about some of the potential changes that they're looking at making, or at least considering, when it comes to how they handle younger wrestlers, looking at stardom and trying to take some lessons from there. Very interesting to see how the G1 plays into all of that, and G1 into Wrestle Kingdom season, kind of how maybe we see that materialize a little bit. But if you want to subscribe to the Three Count Fall newsletter, adamsummers.substack.com is where you can get that for free. Also, Wrestling at Random, the podcast I do with Jeremy Deamer, wrestlingatrandom.com is all the information. Three full seasons of evergreen content. If you've never listened, you can also search Wrestling at Random at the very same place, wherever you're getting your podcast right now, unless you're getting it at F4W for some reason. You can get Wrestling at Random and also check out the Wrestling at Random Patreon as well.
Love all of it, especially that Three Count Fall. You know, it's again, you did a good thing there, Adam Summers, by starting that whole thing up there.
Yes, and I will be back, like I said, getting back on the horse, doing them much more regularly after a very busy, good busy, but a very busy last 6 weeks or so, that kind of necessitated a little bit less frequent schedule, but that will be getting back to normal pretty soon.
You will be hearing me in a bunch of random places soon, surely. A bunch of different podcasts that I've been trying to help out with people. I did a Winter Place podcast with Mark Cole talking about the Great American Bash in 85. That's going to be out there somewhere. A couple of different things I got going on. Black Wrestling for on Patreon. Bulls in a China Shop, me and Vin Forte. Doing that as well, too. A whole bunch of stuff going on, but the big stuff is, of course, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare that we do here, as well as Wrestling Observer Live, another place you can hear me. If you're listening to this before 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, July 13th, I've got a solo show coming up because Brian has left me once again to review NXT 2.0 all by myself. I think he keeps doing this on purpose. In fact, I'm pretty sure of it, but I will be talking about that, as well as all the other things to happen across the world of professional wrestling, including Brian, the stardom expert, also kind of pokes his head out every once in a while as Filthy Tom is forcing him into keeping track of things, which is kind of nice when he decides to speak about that. But
the best wrestling promotion in the world, Stardom, and I'll be writing a lot more about that. God, so much good stuff. Man, if you haven't watched the last Stardom pay-per-view, so much good stuff on it. The Tam Nakano, Natsupoi, Julia stuff was fantastic. Shuri versus Momo Watanabe was awesome. But Izumi versus Momo Kogo, high-speed title. Oh, my God, was that great. I wrote about it a little bit on Twitter. I'll be writing about that in Three Count Fall as well. Sorry, go ahead. I just get excited, and it's hard for me to not talk Stardom on the podcast.
So you don't want to talk about Misty Blue and Kat LaRue and Linda Dallas and some other women to see if they could hang with the likes of the Stardom ladies? They can't. But you can still hear me talk about them. Not really them, but they do actually make an appearance in 1986. Most notably, Misty Blue against Jim Cornette in Baltimore, which that was fun. But hey, if you liked Jim Crockett Promotions, or just like professional wrestling from back in the day, you may like the Mid-Atlantic Championship podcast, available at midatlanticpod.com. We have a Twitter, a Facebook, a Patreon, an Instagram, all those sorts of things. Just search at Mid-Atlantic Pod. On YouTube, Mid-Atlantic Pod. On Patreon, it's Mid-Atlantic Podcast. I had to do the whole thing for that. But check me out there. It's just a celebration in history of Jim Crockett Promotions. We go through the network, take shows, review them in order. We're into 1983 right now. The Road to Greensboro is taking place with Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood against Sergeant Slaughter and Don Carnoodle. Ric Flair are touring the area. The heating up between Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine and Dick Slater, which will lead to Starrcade later on in the year. All that sort of stuff. Just a celebration of Jim Crockett Promotions from 1933 to 1988. You will love the Twitter feed if you like pro wrestling, because it's nothing but clips. No politics, no nonsense, no modern wrestling, no stupid opinions from anyone, including myself. Just the wrestling as you like it. So you can catch me there, and of course on Twitter at Semper Vivi.
There you go. Let's wrap it up. We are, I believe, over 2 hours into this show. We've done it yet again. We have scaled the mountain. We have conquered the G1 Climax 32. And I think we're ready to pass out.
Yes, I know I am, and which is not good because I still got to work. Oh, man. But 2 hours and 5 minutes is actually a little bit better than I thought we were going to be with it. But for Adam Summers, I am Mike Sempervivi. Not sure when the schedule is going to allow us to be back, but it's definitely going to be surely within that first week of shows taking place with the G1. Follow our Twitters. We're going to be talking about it as well, too, there. Adam and
yes,
Mike DAN.
At Adam of the Band is my Twitter, at Adam of the Band. Yours is even easier to remember.
Yes, as long as you know your Latin. Semper Vivi, Sempervivi. Always alive is what that means. And, doing these podcasts and doing these recordings of them in the afternoon as opposed to 3 o'clock in the morning, much easier for me.
Yes, absolutely. All right. We need to stop.
Bye-bye, everybody.